Hey everybody, this is Dominique. Are you ready to do more with your life and money? I hope so, because today we're going to wind up our series with financial contentment lessons, and I'm going to pull a couple of client stories from my past years of working in financial services. Won't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
All right, we are back, and I am Dominique Henderson. To all our return listeners, thank you for tuning in today, and for all of our guests, I am Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast, where we talk about everything financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. All those things that you're going to need in a, let's call them in a big mix, in order to move the needle, in order to get progress onto your financial goals. So that's what we're talking about here. This is a little different than your normal financial podcast, because some of the people that are listening to this, and at least myself, we're very socially indifferent. We don't really go with the status quo. We've pretty much taken that red pill to leave the matrix of the average, and we're doing our own thing with our money and getting results also. So today, we're going to finish up a series that I started a couple of weeks ago with financial contentment lessons. So the first week we talked about financial contentment lessons, excuse me if I can talk, from Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, great read. I read it every year, and there were some nuggets to unpack on there. I'll put that in the show notes. You can definitely consume that at your leisure. And then last week, we talked about financial contentment lessons from the movie Black Panther. And so I've been to see it twice at this point, and so I was able to extract a little bit more, but that's for another day, another time. And today, we're going to talk about financial contentment lessons from 20 years in the business, been in business since 98, and I've worked with clients in several capacities, and I thought I might share a couple of things to kind of bring home this point of financial contentment, and just to kind of back up a little bit, what got me on this train is I'm reading this book called The Oil Kings, and it's a really good read if you have some time on your hands. I'm listening to it on Audible, and I think it's like 20 hours or so, but the point is, there is this notion that, you know, capitalism is this great thing, and not that I disagree with that, but what has inevitably plagued capitalist nations, including the United States, is once we got rich and started to do well, we also start to get greedy and selfish, which is just kind of human nature. So financial contentment is really the answer to that, because what you do is not accumulate money just for the sake of accumulating money. You may want to retire. You may have a number in mind that will help you sustain a lifestyle after you stop getting a paycheck, like residual income off of that retirement income, and that's fine. However, living your life up until that point and even after that point with something that you believe in deeply, that you value, that is essentially your why and your reason for living, gives you a more fulfilled life along the way. So that's kind of what financial contentment's all about. It's not really settling for less than what you can have. And it's not about saying that I don't need money. It's neither one of those. It's really just funneling your resources of money, time, and any talents or gifts that you have, and putting it behind something that you really believe and value that's going to benefit more than just yourself. So that's kind of the notion here. So wanted to unpack two stories. Both of them happened, I guess, in the last 10 years or so in my life, working with clients one-on-one with the last stint, money managing stint that I was in. And we'll keep these people anonymous and some of the details of their case anonymous, because client information is always confidential. But I guess the first theme is that money creates more problems when you're never satisfied. Now, I would say that more of anything probably creates more problems when you're not ever satisfied. But in this particular case, I had the opportunity to work with a lottery winner, somebody that won the lottery, and it was Sudden Wealth. Their family was okay, but they didn't have, you know, lottery-type wealth by any means. And so there was this deposit, literally and figuratively, into their lives of Sudden Wealth without what I would, my perspective on it, was without the depth or the principles that come with building wealth, right? So it's, for somebody that builds their own wealth, that has a business or something like that, when they get millions of dollars, their mindset is usually on track because they knew what it take to go from zero to whatever. But when you haven't really been given those principles and you get a lot of money, sometimes this is evident in the athletic world with athletes and things like that. So that Sudden Wealth syndrome can be pretty damaging to your legacy. So some of the details of the story to kind of support my notion of, you know, money creating more problems when you're never satisfied is, so I think the lottery winnings, if memory serves, were somewhere in the mid-teens, 13, 14, 15, $60 million, something like that. And so this came into account that we managed at the firm. And at one point, this is going to sound really hard to believe, but at one point, the portfolio had got spent down a little bit, and I think it was still around the 9 or 10 million mark, right? And it was cash flowing the taxable portion. So let me back up a little. So, you know, there's taxable money, there's non-taxable. Let's say it another way. There's pre-tax and there's after-tax accounts. So this is an after-tax account, meaning that you had already paid taxes on the lottery winnings. And so anything after that, there was only taxes on the gains of whatever you sold and then the interest on that. So we had built a portfolio in the taxable account that was mostly composed for a large portion of the time that this was going on out of just municipal bonds. And at that time, municipal bonds paid really good rates, like above 5%. And so this portfolio was cash flowing over $500,000 in tax-free income, just tax-free. Like, it had way more than $500,000 in income on that big principal base, but $500,000 of it was in tax-free income. So here's my first point, kind of parenthetically on that point about money creates more problems. It's like, if you can't build a life that is going to support your current lifestyle and your future lifestyle with $500,000 that you do not have to pay taxes on, like, something is terribly wrong here. And there were all kinds of purchases in this account. There were Winnebagos, there were large car purchases, there were trips, there was this, what I would call like a Taj Mahal type house being built. There was just like a lot of spending going on without thought for the future. And the unfortunate thing is, and here's what the problems, young children were involved that still needed to go to college. And the client actually was pretty young. So, you know, if they have a normal lifespan of, you know, let's say 70, 80 years, you know, we got another 30, 40 years that money has to last. Now, here's the problem. After I stopped working with that client, left that firm, the lottery winnings that came in at $15 million were just under $2 million when I left. So $13 million in the span of like 6 or 7 years. Money can create problems if you're never satisfied, to say the least. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I see money can be used to create a legacy, just like it could have been in that first instance. So we'll call this client Mac. And Mac didn't give a first name to the other guy. Maybe the other guy, we'll call him JJ. So JJ on the first end, and then Mac. So Mac, very interesting situation. Really admired this guy. Had conversations, you know, outside of the scope of his account, and just developed a relationship over the years. But sadly enough, his wife passed. And when his wife passed, they were already pretty well to do. But obviously, the insurance money and some other money that got released in her passing came into the whole estate. And what was so admirable about this guy is he had found his why. And so what he had done is once the wife got sick, he had started volunteering. She got sick of cancer, which he had started volunteering with the hospital that was treating her, and found so much enjoyment and giving back in that, that after she passed, he continued to do it. And from what I remember, there was this long commute that he was just enduring, even at his age, which was, you know, upper 70s, I believe, at the time. And this long commute, something like, you know, 140 miles round trip, two or three times a week, to go volunteer still. But then he had built enough margin in his life after doing that for a little bit. I don't know how long he did it, but he had built enough margin in his life. And this is where I think financial contentment really comes in, that what he decided to do is sell his current residence and move like within blocks of that facility so he can be there more during the week to volunteer. And to my knowledge, he's still doing that. So just a great story of how money can create a legacy, and how once you develop your why in life, things become a whole lot more clear. And so my final thoughts on living with financial contentment as we kind of wrap this thing up and bring it in for a landing. I think to live with financial contentment, you have to focus on your why. You have, and if you haven't found that yet, I actually do have a couple of exercises that I usually take my clients through, and plenty of resources that I've used on this podcast and prior episodes that I can post in the show notes. But, you know, focusing on your why, I think, centers around two questions that will eventually draw you into supporting what you value with your money. The first is, and I've said this before, is think about what you would do if money was taken care of. Like, if money wasn't an object, what would you be doing? And probably even more than that, like taking a step further, like Ray Dalio says, the second order consequences of things. If you had money, or money was no object, not only what you would be doing, but who would you be? Like, what type of person would you be with that type of margin in your life? That's the thing to answer, because I think that will lead you to your why. That's the first part of it. And then secondly, and this has been put at a lot of different angles, but simply spoken, like, what's missing from your eulogy, right? If people that knew you intimately were to say things like you woke up on a cloud tomorrow, like, what would they say that you were did not get to do, did not get to be? Like, what did you miss out on life? What would be missing from your eulogy, essentially? So I think those two answers, if you answer them honestly and forthrightly, will lead you to what you are put on this earth to do. Like, what is your mission? What is your purpose? And once you start living that, regardless of your level of finances, things just start attracting to you, the things that you need to do and accomplish in a life, the people that you need in your life to help you accomplish those things, and consequently, the resources to do that. So it's all about building margin too. So that would be the second thing, final thought, is building margin with not just your money, but also with your time. You know, I talk to a lot of prospective clients, and one of the main things they talk about is money freedom and time freedom. And I just like to say real simply that a financial plan is really nothing more than the ability to spread limited resources across unlimited choices. So, you know, when it comes to your money, you do have this, you know, there's a lot of things, like I've said before, vying for your attention with the marketing machine that is out there. But when you have and live with financial contentment and you're focused on your why, you can be really, really myopic on what you spend your money on, what it's going towards, what you're trying to build with your money, and things of that nature. So, would love to continue this discussion with you inside the Facebook group. The Creating Your Roadmap to Financial Contentment is a Facebook group, free, that that we talk about this kind of stuff. We talk about personal development. It's kind of like a, I would say, an addendum to the podcast in a lot of ways, because it touches on the subjects that we try to briefly illuminate on a weekly basis. So hopefully that's helpful. Enjoyed this time with you, and hopefully you enjoyed watching and listening. listening. Take care. See you later. Bye-bye.